The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's outreach coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
All right, welcome everybody to Martin Luther King Day 2010. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, and welcome for the next 60 minutes to what we call Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation. Marijuana legalization, decriminalization, medical marijuana, industrial hemp, we're all about the herb. And joining me in Astoria, Oregon, my good friend and half-sister, Cannabis Carrie.
Happy MLK Junior Day, Russ.
Oh, happy MLK Junior Day to you as well. Here at Normal Show Live, we honor the memory of the great civil rights leader, Martin Luther King, by continuing to disobey unjust laws. That's what we're going to do here at Normal Show Live. We're working for a change in marijuana law to allow all adults age 21 and older the opportunity to return to our hemp heritage. You know, the first hemp plantations appeared on American soil in 1611 at the Jamestown Colony. 399 years of hemp heritage, and we're here to restore that. We've got some great guests on today's show. We hope you stick with us for the whole hour. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we will be speaking with Anthony Johnson and Lee Berger from Oregon. They are both proponents of a new Initiative 28, which seeks to install a dispensary system for the medical marijuana program in the state of Oregon. So check that out coming up at half past the hour. And at 45 past the hour, we're going to be taking a trip all the way down to the sunny United States Virgin Islands for a live report from Linda Adler from USVI Normal. She's there at the Bordeaux Rasta Fair and has all sorts of great news about turning the United States Virgin Islands into our pot paradise, a cannabis lover's vacation dream. This will be some awesome stuff. I can't wait till they get that passed. Best of all, because in the United States Virgin Islands, you don't need a passport to go there. So we could have a lot of fun with legalized marijuana in the United States Virgin Islands. It'd be a lot of fun. So Carrie, how are things going for you up there in Astoria? How was your weekend?
Oh, the weekend was great. And I have to say, for the holiday today, the weather is gorgeous. I'm going to head out to the beach as soon as we're done.
Oh, yeah. Here in Oregon, we finally saw this great big yellow glowing disc in the sky. Rumors have it that this is called the sun, something that we're not used to seeing here this month here in the state of Oregon. So glad that's coming out. And Carrie, you've got to be happy about your J-E-T-S Jets, Jets, Jets.
You know, can you believe it? I've played fantasy football for years, and this is the first year I've sat out, and maybe that's what it takes to get the Jets to the Super Bowl.
You have to sit out. Let's see. See, Carrie's Jets defeated my wife's San Diego Super Chokers. They defeated the San Diego Kicker, who missed three field goals. Oh, my God, what a choke job that was.
Poor guy.
And, of course, the quarterback formerly known as Brett Favre had his all-time best performance in the playoffs with four touchdown passes. Go Saints. All right, that's all I'm going to say about that. So we got to pay some bills here at Normal Show Live. Make sure that you visit our sponsors. That really helps us to keep the show on the air. We love each and every one of you. We're back with some headlines in just a minute.
Look, when I was a kid, I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Remember, Mr. President, you once were just one bust away from being Barry the drug criminal.
Life ain't a box of chocolates gum. That's why people smoke weed and take bumps and drink way too damn much and get drunk and do it all over again first of the month.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Been busted? Need a lawyer? Call the Normal Legal Committee for an attorney near you. Find one at norml.org. Remember, attorneys are cheaper than a lifelong criminal drug record.
It's that freedom. Freedom. I'm free to
medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
Hawaii is about to get even more laid back. A Hawaiian lawmaker plans to introduce legislation this week that would decriminalize adult possession of marijuana. State Senator Jay Kalani English is introducing two bills in the legislative session this week, according to the Honolulu Advertiser. One bill is to legalize marijuana dispensaries, and the other is to decriminalize personal possession of up to 1 ounce. He says the measures would free up law enforcement to focus on hard drug traffickers and help the state deal with Hawaii's $1.2 billion budget shortfall. Senator English went on the record yesterday saying, quote, "My point is we've already legalized medical marijuana, so we should allow the counties to regulate the dispensaries." He also said that President Barack Obama directed the Department of Justice to honor states' rights, as it should be. It's a complete reversal of the previous doctrine that the federal trumps the state. The measure would not legalize marijuana, he was careful to make clear. However, under his proposal, offenders caught in possession of marijuana would go through the civil court process, just like with traffic tickets. English said it would be a fine versus jail time, and it will clear up the courts of a huge backlog. It should free up a lot of resources for law enforcement, too, so they can better pursue hard drugs like ice, cocaine, and heroin. It's definitely a cost-saving measure, at least a few million dollars a year in the judiciary, and even more money for prisons. English noted that it costs $88,000 a year to house an inmate in Hawaii, and Hawaii's prisons are already full.
Wow, you know, $88,000 a year to house a prisoner versus just letting adults be adults and use a little marijuana. You know, it's not like anybody in Hawaii is not using it now. You know, the decriminalization measure, I really hope that we can go forward with decrim and legalization for people. A lot of our opponents, they'll come forth and they'll say, well, you know, if you decriminalize, it sends the wrong message to the children, and it'll lead to an increase of use. And yet, in the 13 states that have decriminalized the adult use of marijuana, we have found that they don't have any higher rates of use than they did before they decriminalized marijuana. Now, it is true that the states that have decriminalization, by and large, have a larger proportion of their population that are using marijuana, but it's hard to make a distinction as to whether that's a correlation or a causation. That is to say, because there's a whole bunch of people there that use marijuana, that's why they were able to pass decrim, or because of decrim, that's why a bunch of people smoke marijuana. I tend to believe the former, that in places that are cannabis friendly, like Oregon, Hawaii, California, and so on, these states that have decrimmed marijuana, it's a factor of there being a lot of support for that because there's a lot of cannabis users. We have something similar going on in Washington State where they want to decriminalize, and other states around the country are looking at the notion of decriminalization as a way of reducing their court budgets and so on. One thing about decrim, though, let's keep this in mind. When we're decriminalizing marijuana, we're talking about allowing someone to have a personal amount and not messing around with them. However, all that does is it makes the consumer side legal, and it keeps the producer side illegal. And in a sense, it might even lead to more on the production side now that they have an audience or a receptive market that has less worry about possessing their own marijuana. I always worry about decrim in that respect, in that we are legalizing the consumers of an illegal market. It's time to just legalize the entire market, and we will see so many of these problems that we have with drug abuse and marijuana reduced in our society.
And this is a follow-up on a story we did a few months ago. A police officer who was called unstable by fellow officers and described by his chief as someone who shouldn't wear the badge of a law enforcement agency says he has just been cleared for duty and will be back on the job tomorrow. Officer Bradley Jardis is returning to work after passing a psychological evaluation, despite Police Chief Gregory Dodge's recommendation that he be terminated. The New Hampshire police officer has gone on record this morning to say that he will never arrest a person who possesses, uses, or grows marijuana to treat a medical condition. Officer Jardis was suspended with pay, pending an investigation back in October. He says his troubles began when a story in the New Hampshire Sunday News featured his involvement with LEAP, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. He says that he suffered harassment at the hands of his superiors, and then when he was removed from an investigation of a case last summer, he wrote an email to fellow officers decrying his treatment. That led to his suspension. But in his open and published letter this morning, he says that he has been rereading the New Hampshire Constitution, and he has concluded that it is unconstitutional for the state to take action against a sick person who decides to use marijuana to treat a medical condition. He ends his letter with some strong words. I'm going to read them to you. "I won't do it ever. Take your unconstitutional law and stuff it. You know who I am, you know where I work, and I'm not afraid of any of you. My word, my oath is to the people, not the tyrants who want them to suffer." Officer Jardis has served on the police force for over a decade.
Yeah. Well done, officer. Kudos to you for refusing to enforce an unjust law. That so fits with the spirit of Martin Luther King Jr. Day that we're celebrating here in America. This idea that even though something's against the law, that does not necessarily make it moral. You know, it was perfectly legal back in the late 50s and early 60s to refuse to allow black people to sit at your lunch counter. It was perfectly legal to refuse to integrate your schools before the 1950s. It was perfectly legal to deny a black woman and a white man the opportunity to get married. All these things were perfectly legal. And yet, they were incredibly immoral. The same goes for this insane prohibition on marijuana. It is perfectly legal to throw people in prison for using marijuana to treat their medical conditions. But it is certainly not moral.
And according to the Seattle Times today, Seattle's new city attorney is dismissing all marijuana possession cases, starting with those that were already underway under the old city attorney. City Attorney Pete Holmes, who was elected in November, defeating incumbent Tom Carr, said he dismissed two marijuana-related cases on his first day on the job, and he is reviewing about 50 more cases to be dismissed. He says that unless there are any, quote, out-of-the-ordinary circumstances, the office doesn't intend to file charges for marijuana possession. Holmes is quoted in the paper saying, "We're not going to prosecute marijuana possession cases anymore," following up with, "I meant it when I said it during the campaign." Seattle voters approved Referendum 75 in 2003, making marijuana the lowest priority for local law enforcement. City records show that the last city attorney still prosecuted many cases, filing over 60 in the first half of 2009. Washington activists are encouraged by the strides made in policy so far in 2010.
Oh, congratulations to all my friends living in the great Emerald City of Seattle up there. Yeah, Seattle has got a great track record with their vote on I-90 to make marijuana enforcement the lowest priority. That we've got the Seattle Hemp Fest that goes on year after year in Seattle, drawing hundreds of thousands of open pot smokers to a park and having no problems whatsoever when they do so. It's just about time that that this came about, and this city attorney, kudos for him for having the cojones to stand up for some common sense actions here in the city of Seattle. I do like to commend any politician who makes statements about how futile and a failure our drug war has become, and that we ought to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws. Now, if we could only go in a time machine back to 2004 and talk to President Obama about that promise he made in 2004.
It only comes twice a day, but I don't care. It's 420 somewhere.
It's time for our cannabis community calendar, which you can find at norml.org/calendar. Today is Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday, as celebrated here in America, and also happening, the United States Virgin Islands Normal is having their public meeting at Emancipation Gardens in St. Thomas. Check out usvinormal.org for more details. America's War on Drugs, a failed policy. The Kansas City Normal meeting will be canceled so that folks in Kansas City can go to 3936 Broadway Street at the Aquarius Bookstore Monday night to watch this movie, America's War on Drugs, a failed policy. They'll also be featuring Brian Leininger, a public speaker for law enforcement against prohibition. Check out kcnormal.org for details. In the state of Michigan, Oakland County on Tuesday will be having Oakland County Normal, that is, will be having their meeting on Tuesday at the Baldwin Library in Birmingham, Michigan. Check out minormal.org for information. On Wednesday, January 20th, Benzie County Normal in Michigan is having their potluck dinner and a movie. For information, contact Reverend Steve at 231-882-4496. On Thursday, January 21st, Philadelphia Normal will be having their open meeting, Philly Normal, at the A Space at 4722 Baltimore Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Check out phillynormal.org for more information. On Friday, Joplin Normal in Joplin, Missouri will be having their benefit concert featuring Knucklehead, 4DE, and Apocalyptic Cow. Apocalypse Cow. I'm sorry, Apocalypse Cow. Great band name, Apocalypse Cow. Love it. Check out www.joplin-normal.org for information. And finally, on Saturday, January 23rd, Oregon Normal will be having their twice-monthly cardholders meeting open to all members of the Oregon Medical Marijuana Program who are members of Oregon Normal. Check out ornormal.org for details. And in Denver, Colorado, Mile High Normal will be having their Mile High Night Out at the Ganja Gourmet, 1810 South Broadway, Denver, Colorado, 80210. For more information on any of these events, you can check out the Normal Cannabis Community Calendar at normal.org/calendar. And if you'd like to get your event read on the Normal Cannabis Community Calendar and displayed at normal.org, the highest trafficked website for marijuana law reform on the planet, send me an email at stash@normal.org. We do limit our postings to the activities posted by our Normal chapters, so you'll need to get in touch with me or your local Normal chapter to make that change. Also, we want to make a note to the folks out there in the state of Washington. We're still looking for more activists to get involved with reformation of Washington Normal. We're definitely going to have a chapter that represents Washingtonians who want to decriminalize and legalize marijuana. There's been a couple of great hearings so far, actually just one great hearing so far on the issue, and we are really looking forward to making this change here in the state of Washington. Okay, folks, we're rolling up on 20 after the hour, so I want to make sure everybody is ready for the 20 after break. And coming next, we'll be doing our daily Toker Tunes. Every weekday, we play for you some of the best pod-safe independent music in the cannabis community, featuring Roots Monday today, all of the best in blues and jazz and honky-tonk and bluegrass and country and all those roots music that make all of the rest of our music so great in America. We'll follow up the rest of the week with Electric Tuesday, Irie Wednesday, Groovin' Thursday, and Rockin' Friday. So stay tuned. This is Normal Show Live, the voice of Marijuana Nation. We'll be right back after these messages and a 20 after break. Stick around.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Law420.com.
Hello, I'm Russ Belville, Outreach Coordinator for Normal. In my job, I read literally hundreds of headlines each month involving nonviolent, productive citizens whose lives are ripped apart by a marijuana or drug arrest. Many citizens could avoid arrest by refusing police searches and remaining silent, but police are well-trained to confuse and intimidate. That's why you have a right to speak to an attorney before answering any police questions. I hope you never need to exercise that right, but if you do, make your first call to the law offices of John C. Lucy IV. John Lucy is an accomplished criminal defense attorney with expertise in Oregon's medical marijuana law. John Lucy understands and respects cannabis and drug consumers of all backgrounds. Call John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit in downtown Portland. Address available at law420.com. That's John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit law420.com today.
There is a peaceful solution called a peace revolution. And now let's take back America.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Like millions of freedom-loving Americans, I'm a marijuana smoker, and I don't think that should be any of the government's business. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana. The next time you light up, take the time to let your elected officials know how you feel. It's time we legalize marijuana and stop treating marijuana smokers like criminals. For more information on how you can help legalize marijuana, please contact Normal at NORML.org.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we bring you tunes for Roots Monday, our celebration of the music that evolved into the popular modern music of today. We pick the best of blues, country, folk, and jazz with a 420 feel and serve it up for you every Monday. Brought to you by PlanetFantastic.com and Bella Blue Tie-Dye Fashions. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes. I knew there was something I was forgetting to do this weekend, and that was to re-record the intro for the Monday Toker Tunes. Carrie's got a new website up called CannabisFantastic.com. Not Planet Fantastic, CannabisFantastic.com. Carrie, I'm so sorry.
Oh, that's okay. No problem.
Don't fire me.
Yeah, don't fire me. I love it.
So what do we got on tap today for our Toker Tunes?
Well, I picked out something special for today's holiday Toker Tune. The song is Don't Bogart Me. It's an iconic song that added stoner slang from the 60s into everyone's vernacular. The term Bogart was coined as a reference to the great actor Humphrey Bogart and his style of leaving a cigarette dangling from his lips between puffing, even delivering lines with a burning cigarette in his mouth. Originally, it was released by the group Fraternity of Man in 1968, and it was included in the movie Easy Rider during a scene where a relatively unknown Jack Nicholson, playing an ACLU lawyer, is introduced to marijuana for the first time. The song has been covered by Little Feat, The Grateful Dead, Country Joe and the Fish, Steppenwolf, and countless others in honky-tonks and clubs all over the world. Today's version of this classic song is by the group Robert Bradley's Blackwater Surprise, and it was included in the 1998 album Hempilation 2 to benefit Normal. The song is number 11 in High Times magazine's greatest pot songs of all time and a key point in marijuana etiquette. So you can sing along, folks. You all know the words. So now here is Robert Bradley Blackwater Surprise with Don't Bogart Me.
Hey now, let's try that again.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Roll another one, just like the other one. This is seem to be about to quit, and I need another hit. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it all around. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Just pass it on down. Roll another one, just like the other one. This one seems to be about spent, and I don't have another cent. Don't hold my dead yard. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Just pass it around.
Yes, don't bogart that, friend. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it around. Exactly. Great tune for our Roots Monday. Thanks for bringing it to us, Cannabis Carrie. Before we move on, coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll be speaking with Anthony Johnson and Lee Berger from Oregon, discussing the Initiative 28 that seeks to put dispensaries in the state of Oregon. Before we do, I want to make brief mention of a story that I've got posted at our blog at stash.normal.org, where you can get the archives of all of our live shows, just in case you happen to miss anything. Look on the right-hand side, all the way about halfway down, you'll find the big green Daily Audio Stash player. That's where you'll find our archives. This is a story that came out of the Los Angeles Times, and it says, in many large state prison systems, a mix of inmate ingenuity, complicit visitors, and corrupt staff has kept the level of inmate drug abuse constant over the past decade, despite concerted efforts to reduce it. A recent boom in cell phone smuggling has complicated matters, with inmates sometimes using phones to arrange drug deliveries. Roughly 1,000 drug incidents are reported annually at California prisons, seizures of marijuana, heroin, and other drugs. Between 2006 and 2008, 44 inmates in the state died of drug overdose deaths. Yet despite these efforts, 1,132 random drug tests of inmates in 2008-2009 were positive, the same positive rate of 1.6% as 10 years earlier. Even more striking, officers seized 2,800 grams of marijuana and 92 grams of cocaine at the prisons during the year, the highest figures for the past decade. So, let's get this straight here, folks. We got a large building surrounded by fences, topped with razor wire, and impenetrably thick walls guarded by men with automatic weapons, revealed by surveillance cameras in every corner. And you can't stop people who are locked in an 8-foot by 10-foot concrete cage with a steel barred door with no constitutional rights to be free from search and seizure from doing drugs. And yet, you want us to believe that 300 million Americans with still some strong constitutional privacy rights, living on 3.5 million square miles of open land with 1,969 miles of open border to the south and 5,525 miles of open border to the north, the longest non-militarized border in the world, and somehow we can create a drug-free America. Well, excuse me if I have a little bit of trouble believing in that one. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we will be speaking with activists in Oregon about the possibility of dispensaries in the Beaver State. Stick around.
If I were to tell you that in America, right now, over 1 million children sell marijuana, what would you think? Would you think that any public policy that creates over 1 million teenage marijuana dealers needs to be re-examined and possibly amended? You would not be alone. The members of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, a.k.a. NORML, have been working since 1970 to reform marijuana laws such that responsible adults, not children, sell and use marijuana. Isn't it high time to reform America's misguided marijuana laws? This is Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of NORML in Washington, D.C. Only concerned citizens can effectively end the federal government's nearly 70-year-old prohibition on responsible adult marijuana sales and use. Want to know more about how you can help? Contact us at NORML, toll-free, 888-67-NORMAL, or by visiting the organization's popular and informative webpage at NORML, NORML.org.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
Hi, it's a kite, everybody.
This drug in front of me is what they call marijuana.
If we had a dime for every dime bag bought in America, marijuana would be legal by now. Donate to NORML at NORML.org and support NORML Show Live.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's 30 after the hour, 31 after the hour, and you're listening to NORML Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
NORML stands for Reforming America's Prohibitionist Marijuana Laws, and that cannot happen without directly engaging our government and elected officials. Local NORML chapters and other affiliated activists relentlessly lobby our lawmakers for change we can believe in and report on their strategies and progress in this segment we call our Government at Work.
Time for our Government at Work segment. We're taking a look at my home state of Oregon and some activism going on here by local activists who are interested in forming a dispensary system here in the state of Oregon and have proposed Initiative 28 to accomplish that purpose. Joining me by telephone are Anthony Johnson and Lee Berger. Anthony, Lee, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us on.
Anthony, before we go further, I was going to introduce you with a title, but I'm not exactly sure what title you wanted to use for this particular interview, so I'll let you go ahead and tell folks, you know, what organization you're representing.
I'm Anthony Johnson. I am co-chief petitioner of Initiative 28 and treasurer of the Coalition for Patients' Rights.
Fantastic. Okay, and Coalition for Patients' Rights, do you have a website address you'd like people to check out?
Yes, it's Coalition for Patients' Rights 2010.com.
Okay, check that out. Coalition for Patients' Rights 2010.com. And Lee Berger with the NORML Legal Committee, how are you doing today, sir?
Good, thanks, Russell.
Okay, glad to have you here. And beyond just the dispensaries, Lee, you've also got some other things brewing at the Oregon Legislature. We'll get to that in just a second. Let me start with Anthony. Tell folks about Initiative 28 and what it will do.
Yeah, so Initiative 28 adds to our current medical marijuana program here in Oregon, where it allows for producers who are licensed and regulated by the state to provide for nonprofit dispensaries who can then provide medical marijuana patients. Patients do not have to go to the dispensary. They can still grow their own or have their own grower. Both dispensaries and producers must pay licensing fees and a fee that's set to how much profits that they do make. And then with that profit, the Department of Human Services can fund medical marijuana research and establish a program to assist low-income patients have a supply of medical cannabis.
All right. That sounds fantastic. And how far along are you in this process of getting this on the ballot?
We have collected over 75,000 signatures for the initiative. We need about 120,000 bulk signatures to get on the ballot. So we're over 50% of the way there. And we have until July 2nd, 2010 to get up to 82,769 ballot signatures.
Okay. Now, Lee Berger, you're a practicing attorney in state of Oregon, member of the criminal defense lawyers here as well. You've been working with medical marijuana patients for a long time and working to upgrade Oregon's Medical Marijuana Act. What are we looking at as far as polling and support for this measure?
We had polled on this and polled 59%, which is close enough to 60% to be viable by those that do this professionally.
Okay. Great. We're getting some questions from our chat room as well. I want to let folks in the chat room know if you have questions, go ahead and send them up. And I'm watching the screen right now. We don't quite have our dial-in numbers installed yet, but soon this will be a dial-in show you can call directly. This is a question for Anthony from Jen A. She wanted to know if you have any numbers of how many patients that are in the program that are currently deemed low income, that is the people that pay the reduced fee for OMMP cards.
Yeah, I believe that number is about 20 to 25%.
Oh, okay. Great. And as far as...
One facet of the initiative is that it would create a program for indigents. It would require the Department of Human Services to promulgate rules so that indigents could be served by the dispensaries. I mean, the issue really on that, Russ, is the lack of safe access to adequate supply of medical cannabis. We've had the Medical Marijuana Act now since, as you know, since 98, and there just isn't a supply system that provides a safe access to adequate supply. Instead, either some people are able to cultivate for themselves, some can find people to cultivate for them, others come to various groups, including, you know, Oregon Normal and Voter Power and Oregon Green Free, and to seek donations for their medical use. And patients shouldn't have to beg for their medicine. Patients should be able to go to a store and buy it just like anybody else.
Mm, I hear you. And, you know, with regard to this indigency program, is there anything in the initiative that's tying that to, say, SSI benefits or OHP qualifications, or is this something where they'll be able to come up with their own standards for what qualifies as indigent?
I think it'll be able to come up with their own standards, but and correct me if I'm wrong, Anthony, but we expect that the advisory committee on medical marijuana to participate in that process, and the advisory committee has been successful in having a pretty expanded definition apply so that people who need to be to have their use protected are able to afford a card. Mm-hmm. So that the 20 or 25% that Anthony described, that's based on an expansive definition, and it would make sense, I think, for DHS to be adopting that. What do you think, Anthony?
Yes, correct. The Department of Human Services establishes the program. We assume that they'll establish the program similar as it is now, based on food stamps, SSI. The low-income and needy registration, like, program will get input from the Advisory Committee on Medical Marijuana, which one of the successes of the Advisory Committee on Medical Marijuana has been the expansion of people on food stamps for the discounted rate for medical marijuana cards. And the departments will have to review the program annually and submit a report to the ACMM, and then the ACMM will then give input if the program needs to be adjusted.
Okay. We're speaking with Anthony Johnson from the Coalition for Patients' Rights, 2010.com, the co-chief petitioner behind Initiative 28, a dispensary initiative in the state of Oregon, as well as Lee Berger from the Normal Legal Committee, a practicing criminal defense attorney in the state of Oregon. Back, Anthony, one question about this. Currently, for folks that don't know, the Oregon Medical Marijuana Act provides for three different types of cards. You can be a patient, a caregiver, or a grower. Tell folks about how this dispensary initiative adds two new types of cards.
Yeah, the dispensary initiative sets up two new cards, a producer card and a nonprofit dispensary card. The producer is someone who can pay a licensing fee and grow up to 24 mature plants and 72 seedlings to provide to dispensaries or to donate to patients. And the nonprofit dispensaries have to pay a $2,000 licensing fee, and they are allowed to provide medical cannabis to medical patients in the state of Oregon.
Okay, so you mentioned a $2,000 licensing fee for dispensaries. Did you mention the fee for the producers?
A $1,000 licensing fee for producers.
Okay, and as we're talking, go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was just going to mention that, as we stated earlier, the producer and dispensaries do not take away the other three cards. The other three cards remain intact under Initiative 28.
That's right. And that's something I wanted to get to here. As we look at the medical marijuana states, the newer states that are taking this up have seemed to put some sort of dispensary language within their bills. We look at, you know, New Mexico, Rhode Island, Maine just passed one, Michigan, that have some sort of state-regulated, state-run sort of dispensary system. And then, of course, there's the famous examples of California and Colorado, which we might call a full retail model. Where does Oregon fit in that? Is it between the California-Colorado full retail model and the New Mexico-Rhode Island-type state models, or how can you characterize that compared to what people already know about dispensaries that exist?
Go ahead, Anthony. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say it's a hybrid between those two models. It's not full retail like you're seeing in Colorado and California. It is state-regulated, so which puts it more like Maine and New Mexico and Rhode Island. But unlike some of the medical marijuana states that limit how many dispensaries a state can have or limit personal gardens like we saw in New Jersey, so we do not do that. So we are somewhere in the middle, and we've looked at what's going on in all these various states, including what goes on in Vancouver, and we try to tailor the law to take the best from all systems.
And Lee, did you have a comment
on that? I was going to add that the most significant difference between Colorado and California and what we're proposing here in Oregon is that the Oregon dispensaries will be nonprofit. The Oregon system as it currently exists is based on a charitable arrangement. People cultivate either and provide medical cannabis initially for free, and since 2006 can be reimbursed for supplies and utilities, but the dispensary system that we'd have in Oregon would be, I think, you know, I know that in New Mexico anyway, and I've heard a little bit about in Rhode Island that there have been some problems with the degree of government regulation. I think that we wrote in some rules into the dispensary initiative for the dispensaries, but really the most important one is the nonprofit status that the dispensaries would have to have, and I think that's what's really going to distinguish them from the California or Colorado models.
Okay.
I think it's what we're hopeful for are dispensaries kind of modeled after places like the Berkeley Patients Group in California and the Vancouver Island Compassion Center in Victoria, which provide, you know, more holistic care for patients, as well as a place where, you know, patients can go and medicate.
Okay. I have a question here from our chat room asking if the dispensaries would offer anything other than bud, perhaps like edibles.
You know, there's nothing in the law that states that they have to or they will or they won't, but under Oregon law, edibles, tinctures, other products with, you know, balms, topical solutions, are allowed under the medical marijuana program, so we fully expect for dispensaries to have a wide array of medical cannabis products other than just the flowers or the bud.
Okay. And one final question to wrap up here. Mary Jane in the chat room, as well as Jen A. and a few other people, have been asking questions about pricing and just wondering what would a ounce of fine Oregon marijuana cost for a patient in one of these dispensaries?
That's a decision that'll be made by the market forces. I know that there have been people who've been concerned about what the prices are going to be, but my expectation is that the people who are likely to be involved in this process are going to be the kind of people who are providing medical cannabis for patients now, which is to say that they're starting out from it being a charitable event. I don't think there's any reason at all to think that we'd be importing underground market prices by creating licensed and regulated dispensaries. In fact, especially in the context of a nonprofit organization. So
okay.
That would be my expectation.
Fantastic. And I have just enough time to give Anthony, give you the last word and any web links, phone numbers, or email addresses if you want to give people that to contact you.
Great. Yeah, I want to touch on the prices a little bit. We do set up a system where the dispensaries can compete with each other, so I think we'll see a wide range of prices in Oregon, but I think for the most part, people are going to be compassionate, and if anybody sells medical cannabis at too high of a price, other nonprofits will distribute it lower, and I-28 allows for compassionate organizations who already provide for patients to actually grow more and donate more medicine for free. So please check out Coalition for Patients Rights 2010.com. Other organizations helping with this effort include Voter Power. You can check them out at voterpower.org and OregonGreenFree.org as well.
All right. Thank you so much, Anthony Johnson from Coalition for Patients Rights, 2010.org. Check that out on the web. And Lee Berger, representing the Normal Legal Committee and a criminal defense attorney in the state of Oregon. We've got to take a break. When we come back, we will be bringing you a live report from the United States Virgin Islands. Stick around. This is Normal Show Live.
This is Normal Show Live.
As regards to legalization, it's not in the president's vocabulary and it's not in mine.
Providing dictionaries to drug czars since 2009.
Right. I don't care what you say. That ain't right. I said, that ain't right. That ain't right. I don't care what you say.
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for baking pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own, how precisely to legalize it, or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place. Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smokers Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times Magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smokers Handbook rolls all of this collected wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
Which of you are ready to admit to having used marijuana in the past? And they want us to go around and ask each of you. Senator Kerry, yes or no?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Senator Edwards?
Yes.
Senator Lieber?
I have a reputation for giving unpopular answers at Democratic debates. I never use marijuana. Sorry.
I think you'd probably be a lot cooler if you had, Senator.
Smoke a little pot, drink a little wine. Just fine. Smoke a little pot, drink a little wine. Everything will be just fine.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Normal Show Live. We're trying to get the number here for the Virgin Islands. Linda Adler out there at the USVI. I've got to look her up in the old BlackBerry here, so give me a moment while we do that. Also, want to thank Anthony Johnson and Lee Berger for joining us here on Normal Show Live, giving us a little bit more information on the initiative process there in the state of Oregon to get dispensaries. You know, it seems like everyone's talking about dispensaries these days. They're talking about the dispensaries in California, of course, and the ones that are springing up now in Colorado. And I'm curious what what you might think about dispensaries. And if you've got some thoughts on that, send me an email to stash@normal.org, and we can go ahead and get you on. We'll read some of those messages on the air here at another show. Right now I'm typing in the number for Carrie here to see if she can get to Linda Adler, and I'm going to try getting another number typed in here. Love doing 30 things at once. That's the way we work here at Normal. All right. And also want to thank everybody who's listening to us on the show. So far, I'm looking at 121 unknown folks, as well about as another 70 or 80 more that have got names in the chat room. So we're really glad that you're joining us. And good news, too. Last week, we checked our statistics for this new Stick'em stream that we're using. And remember, we started this on Wednesday. In the span of 3 days, we had over 3,000 live listeners. So about 3,000 or 1,000 listeners a day. So we're really glad that we can get that information out. We want everyone to tell your friends about Normal Show Live. We're here every day, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern time at live.normal.org. We are going to get the growing truth about cannabis out to the entire world. Trying again for another dial here of getting a hold of the Virgin Islands, so we're still waiting on that call. Looks like Carrie's trying to dial that as we speak. Also want to talk to the folks out there in the chat room. A bunch of questions have popped up here. I'm going to scroll back, see if I can get to some of these in here. Just looking around. Glad to have you folks out there. Looks like Carrie might be coming back here in just a moment. Let me get the message. Okay, let's see here. Looks like someone's on the line, so we might be going back to the United States Virgin Islands. They're having the Bordeaux Rasta Fair out there. It's a really interesting situation in that the United States Virgin Islands has a large Rastafarian population, and they actually have a Rasta senator, which is pretty amazing. And he is it looks like he's going to be a part of bringing these United States Virgin Islands proposals to their legislature. This is a really a game changer in the islands. They don't have a whole lot of experience with that situation in the VI. And what would be so great for those of us here on the mainland is that travel to the United States Virgin Islands does not require any sort of passport. So if they're able to legalize in the Virgin Islands, man, you can just catch a flight, usually from Orlando or Miami, down to the VI and have yourself a tropical vacation with a nice spliff along with it. She's got some great plans, got some folks down there, some investors who are putting together a proposal for the United States Virgin Islands Normal Hotel, which would be a cannabis-friendly vacation spot. They'd allow you to smoke in your rooms if you like, and it would be open only to normal members. So we're looking forward to that as well. I don't think we're getting through in the United States Virgin Islands, unfortunately. Sometimes that's troublesome. Looks like we don't have the correct numbers. So I apologize to Linda. It's my fault. I apparently don't have the right number in my listings to be able to get in touch with you. Let me go back to Carrie here, who has been trying to get Linda on the line. And let's see what's happening with Cannabis Carrie. Carrie, we're trying, aren't we?
I'm actually ringing another number, Russ.
Oh, okay. Got another
one?
So
give me just a minute.
Okay, we'll put you on mute again here. Oh, this is the fun of the technology out here, having so much fun. Also, wanted to point out some other stories that are up on our blog, stash.normal.org. A great study, and we mentioned this on Friday, that shows that it is unlikely that marijuana use is anything that is going to lead to suicide or suicide risk. This is something that had been posited by many of the drug warriors many times, and they'd say, oh, you smoke marijuana and you're more likely to commit suicide. They studied over 50,000 Swedish troops, long-term study dating back all the way to 1969, 1970, and followed these people throughout their lives to see if indeed they were more likely to have committed suicide. What they did find is that the people who had used cannabis did have a slightly elevated risk for suicide. However, when they started to control for all of the other factors that might lead one to suicide, they found there was no difference between the cannabis users and the non-cannabis users, which once again kind of brings something up about the medical use of marijuana. I believe that there are a lot of marijuana users, people that are just your everyday tokers, who are actually medical users, who have stress, anxiety, depression, whatever, that aren't covered by a lot of the medical marijuana laws, and yet they are still using marijuana in a medical way. And studies like this kind of highlight that to me. It shows me that, you know, these people who may have been at more risk for suicide may have been using marijuana to try to mitigate the factors that are leading to their suicide, mitigate the depression, mitigate the anxiety. And especially when we start to look at all of these drug ads that we have on TV these days, you know, turn on your evening news. Here's a thought experiment for you, folks, if you're listening to me here. Turn on your TV one day and watch the evening news and count the number of pharmaceutical ads you see during that presentation. It will astound you when you actually start counting how many there are. And I see so many of these for Seroquel and Prozac and all these different drugs that are intended to help people that have depression or bipolar disorder. And listen to some of the side effects. You'll hear them saying things like, some people have had increased risk of suicide or suicidal ideation when under the use of Damitol. If you have thoughts of suicide, please consult your doctor. What? I'm already suicidal and bipolar, and you're going to give me something that has a chance of making me go through with it? This is the kind of craziness we live in this country, where we have, on one side, people that are chanting we need to have a drug-free America, and on the other side, we have every other ad on TV is either for beer or pharmaceuticals. It's this disconnect in the American culture that just blows my mind every time I think about it. It's just amazing to me. All right, I'm going to bring Carrie back on the line. We were unable to get through to the Virgin Islands, but here we got another, you know, 4 minutes or so we can kill on the show, and just wanted to get some of your opinions on the stuff we were talking about earlier, Carrie.
Just now?
Yeah.
Well, I was busy dialing out, so I'm sorry. I didn't hear it.
Okay, well, how about, you know, we were talking to Anthony and Lee about I-28 and dispensaries here in Oregon. Is that something you're looking forward to?
You know, I'm not so sure. I'm looking past dispensaries now and looking towards legalization.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of feel the same way that, you know, medical marijuana is a beautiful thing, but it's kind of, especially out here on the West Coast, it seems kind of, you know, beside the point. It seems like we have such great acceptance out here on the West Coast for medical marijuana that we should really focus our attention on trying to pass legalization for all the people that use cannabis. You know, we have 357,000 cannabis users in the state of Oregon, and only 24,000 of them are medical. And that's something to think about.
Well, Lee Berger is a really great guy, and I know his heart's in the right place. He just wants to get medicine to the patients. And so I think that the thought behind the bill is a compassionate one, and I hope it does pass.
Oh, yeah. You know, a positive change in marijuana laws is always a good thing. And, you know, it may just be the situation that all of these ideas toward dispensaries end up being a moot point if we manage to get legalization passed in the next, you know, 2 to 4 to 6 to 8 years. You know, by the end of the 2010s, if we've got legalization in California, Oregon, and Washington, then everybody can use marijuana. We don't have to make a distinction between medical and non-medical.
Yeah, and there's the argument that all marijuana is medical, right?
Well, once you hit age 40, that's true. I need just to get out of bed sometimes, that's for sure. Oh, we're having a good time here at Normal Show Live. Just wrapping up. I want to remind folks, too, that every day that we do Normal Show Live, for 1 hour before the show and 1 hour after the show, we present to you some of the best in our Toker Tunes, our daily Toker Tunes that we play every weekday. And kind of a random mix. You'll have all sorts of good stuff that pops up there. Folks in the chat room, if you know some of these songs, please send us a request on the chat, and I'll put it to the top of the list. Unfortunately, we can't play any commercial music. We can't play, you know, Cypress Hill or Black Crows or anything, because that's all covered by ASCAP and BMI and costs a lot in licensing. So we have to be really careful about that. Some other random news I want to bring up that just got posted to our blog at stash.normal.org. Legalization happening in New Zealand. That's right, all the way down under in New Zealand. We have a great Normal chapter, Normal New Zealand, and a university chapter, Otago Normal, Otago University, I guess. And they are having regular protests on Mondays and Wednesdays at 4:20, where people are openly smoking, and they're getting away with it, apparently. And they were going to continue more of these protests to help bring an end to adult marijuana prohibition. And that brings me to round out our show here with the quote from the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., whose birthday we celebrate today on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. I have a post up at stash.normal.org with some letters from the Birmingham jail, which he wrote during the civil rights struggle. These words that I think are very appropriate to those of us here in the marijuana reform movement. And as we go out today, I'd like to read some of that for you. Let's see, this is from April of 1963, when the Reverend Dr. King was arrested in Birmingham. And let me bring some of this to you here. One real quote. "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. We are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny." Yeah, I think that applies to all of us, and something to remember when we start to divide up along some of the common lines that happen in this movement. You may as well ask, let's see, let's go to here. "We know through painful experience that freedom is never voluntarily given by the oppressor. It must be demanded by the oppressed. One may well ask, how can you advocate breaking some laws and obeying others? The answer lies in the fact that there are two types of laws, just and unjust. I would be the first to advocate obeying just laws. One has not only a legal but a moral responsibility to obey just laws. Conversely, one has a moral responsibility to disobey unjust laws. I would agree with St. Augustine that an unjust law is no law at all." Now, what is the difference between the two? How does one differentiate whether a law is just or unjust? A just law is a man-made code that squares with the moral law or law of God. An unjust law is a code that is out of harmony with the moral law.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
To put it in the terms of St. Thomas Aquinas, an unjust law is a human law that is not rooted in eternal and natural law. A law that uplifts human personality is just. A law that degrades human personality is unjust.